Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in for my very first episode of Graceful Messes and Hopeful Guesses. I'm Christian, a military wife, mom of three, a devoted Christian, and just another complex human. For a long time, I felt that God has called me to be vulnerable. I share things some people wouldn't because what I've been through is real life. And sometimes I think other people need to know that they aren't alone. I hope that my vulnerabilities and imperfections encourage others and maybe even give you strength, or at the very least, show you that despite your circumstances, you can find joy. My podcast will be all about the graceful messes of life and the choices we make along the way. We don't always know if the guesses we make will lead us to where we want to be, but we're hopeful. That's me. I'm one of those glass half full type of people, an optimist, if you will, at least most of the time. I do have those moments when my anxiety gets the best of me. Life is hectic. I'm not perfect, but I definitely try to be hopeful. There's that word, perfect. How many of you out there feel like we're trying to live up to that almost unachievable word? I know it's been something I've struggled with my whole life, and definitely as a mother. In this episode, we are going to discuss motherhood. Our main topics will be perfection, grace, and empathy. What makes a good mother? What is it our children need most from us? Is perfection what we should really be seeking? Even if you aren't a mother, this episode may be helpful to you if you've struggled with having a relationship with your own mom, or if you've had a parent with some type of substance abuse. Here's the trigger warning for those who may want to avoid substance abuse topics. A few months back, I was asked to speak on motherhood at our home church near our last base. It got me thinking about the many different angles of motherhood I could cover. I was limited to only a minute of time, so I didn't really have an opportunity to share all that I felt God wanted me to. So, this is me following the pull God has on my heart. I suppose we'll start at the beginning. My parents divorced when I was 2 years old. I spent the majority of each year living with my dad and grandmother. I would only visit my mom for summers and long holidays such as Christmas or spring break. Recently, I saw a picture of me when I was probably about 3 years old, and I had the most genuine smile. In that photo, there was this little girl laughing with her mom, and she looked so happy. It reminded me of how my relationship with my mom used to be. It wasn't the divorce that changed this little girl's heart. My mom injured her back around the time I was 5. Over time, she would need several back surgeries. Some of you might guess where this is going. With surgery often comes pain medication. By the time I was 13, my mother was deep into her addiction to prescription pain medication. Now, before I go any further with this, I want to make it clear that I am not bashing my mom or others who've been exposed to or experienced addiction. Everything I share is based on my own personal journey and will focus primarily on the mother-daughter dynamic affected by the addiction. I share these things hoping to help someone else out there who may have struggled through a similar situation. I remember when I was about 15 years old, and my mom was driving my siblings and I home from somewhere. All of a sudden, her eyes closed. The car swiftly swerved, and only my quick reflexes kept us from hitting a mailbox. The swerving happened to wake her up enough to stop the car and put it in park safely in a nearby parking lot. I'll never forget all of the emotions boiling inside of me that day. Fear, rage, confusion. My heart was pounding. I exited the vehicle and went around to the driver's side. I looked at my mother, who still seemed to be acting quite strange. And I stated I thought it would be best if I were to drive home. Her her head tilted slightly to the side, as if she didn't understand what was going on. My mom claimed she was a little tired, so she was willing to let me drive. This would not be the last time I had to take over the wheel for her, but it was the first, and the one that started a big shift in our relationship. Episodes of her falling asleep became quite common. We became very familiar with glossy eyes, slurred speech, and a mom who made frequent trips to the ER. As her condition worsened, and as I eventually became a mother myself, I found that a bitterness began to grow inside of me. I couldn't understand so many of her life choices, and it would enrage me when she let my siblings down time and time again. My heart would have expectations of who I thought my mother should be, and I found myself on a roller coaster ride of emotions that continued for years. It seemed she'd be doing better, but then another downward spiral would occur. These ups and downs caused such a hole in my heart. I may have become an adult, but I still felt like I needed my mom. The Bible says that God knits us in our mother's wombs. From the very beginning, we are connected to our moms. There is something natural inside of us that longs for a connection to the one who helped give us life, our mother. Our mother was the first human to feel us and will know us in a way no one else on earth could. Somewhere deep inside our memories, we know her in a way no one else except our siblings will too. I think this is why I've always fought so hard for this relationship. It's often been difficult for people on the outside to understand why I show up and try so hard for her time and time again. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 2 and 3 read, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth." God wants us to honor our parents. Now, I know this is not always an easy task. How do we honor someone who lies to us, has secrets from us, and just won't hear us when we're trying to save them from themselves? How do we honor a mom or dad that makes us feel like the parent in the relationship? At the end of the day, she is my mom, my parent. And I should find a healthy way to honor her. For years, I've had whispers in my ears of what I should or shouldn't do when it came to my mom. A year ago, I stayed with my grandfather, aunt, cousin, and mom to help my grandfather when he was placed in hospice care. I cannot begin to tell you the emotional turmoil that would ensue between my mom and me during this 2-month time period. It was a truly painful experience, but also eye-opening. Once my grandfather passed away, there came the moment of what happens to my mom. I knew my siblings did not feel comfortable taking her in, and honestly, I didn't either. I told her I would not rescue her this time, because she just wouldn't admit the truth of her issues and work to improve herself. This wasn't me trying to be mean. I was actually crying out because I loved her. I still love her. I didn't want to give up on her, but at the same time, I couldn't put myself in an unhealthy situation. As time continued, though, I felt God tugging at my heart. I'm supposed to honor my mother. Everyone had opinions on why I shouldn't help her, and for a while, I agreed with them. Then one day I realized I needed to think about who I was. This situation, and really all situations in my life, should be based on the type of person I want to be. What an epiphany! I need to stop having reactions and start acting based on who I am, not who someone else is. I decided that to honor my mom, I needed to offer her a place to live, but it wouldn't come without rules set up for safety. My mom ended up finding a path of her own, but I could feel at peace knowing I tried to honor her in the best way I could. Fast forward a year, and now God has stationed my family in the same city I spent those 2 months. Our house is within minutes of my mother, as well as my grandfather's old house. I knew coming here God wanted me to work on my relationship with my mom. Despite everything I've been through with her, I want a better and safer relationship. I don't know if this will ever happen, but being who God designed me to be, I'll try to do my part in finding our place of peace. I don't want a perfect mom. I just want my mom to take responsibility for her own actions and make healthier choices in the future. After going through all of this, it has me reflect on my own motherhood. I know I fall short sometimes too. As a mom, I have bad days and make mistakes. You know, my mom was also a mom of three. She would take us to amusement parks, traveling, to the movies. She would do all sorts of things with us all by herself. I know that couldn't have been easy. It must have been hard. And because of all of that, as a mom, I have respect for her. I love her. I appreciate everything that she did. But let's say it again. Being a mom is hard. Man, it is the most rewarding thing, but it definitely has a lot of challenges. Ever feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders? That idea of perfection, mixed with the busy lives we live, often leads me into a state of overwhelmed. I've wanted to be a mom my entire life, and it hurts when I don't live up to the standards I have for myself. Will my children not love me when they grow older if I make mistakes? Am I failing the ones I love most in this world? I cannot predict the future, but thinking of my relationship with my own mom, I know what I want as a daughter is not for my mom to be perfect. After everything, I still love her. I still want her in my life to some degree, and I'm even willing to give her opportunities to build our relationship. Perfection is not what we should be seeking as moms. Perfection is unattainable and honestly harms our relationships more than it helps them. The goal of perfection creates stress, low self-esteem, a lack of confidence, and causes irrational reactions to situations. The good news for all of us is what our children need is not perfection. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 11, Jerusalem's compared to a nursing mother. At one point it says, "Delight in her overflowing abundance. A good mom gives good things abundantly." What are the good things? Show compassion, not only to your children, but to your spouse, your own parents, strangers even. Be giving of your time and resources. Pay attention to your kids and spend positive time with them. Make sure your children know they are seen and heard. Get to know who they are and acknowledge their feelings. This doesn't mean you give them everything they want, but actively listen and try to understand situations from their perspective. Set healthy boundaries and instruct your children on right from wrong. We're given a task to help shape our babies into who they may become in adulthood. And the best way to do this is to set the example of a godly life. We don't need to be perfect, but our children do need to have more good things coming from us than bad. If we want them to feel loved, we must love them and show it. Abundance can be tiring, but Proverbs 31:31 tells us, "Honor her for all that her hands have done." In Proverbs 31:28, "Her children arise and call her blessed." Most days, I feel as if I give my all and then some to my family. It often feels like I barely even have a moment to breathe, much less sleep. But these verses remind me that all my hard work is worth it. That overwhelmed feeling I get is because I'm giving abundantly. I just need to make sure that what I'm giving abundantly are those good interactions and keep the not so good ones to a minimum. Another thing I've learned is so important in motherhood is grace. Several years back, my husband was gone on military orders. It was just my two daughters, three pets, and me at home. Every day felt like a circus. One particular day, I was at the end of my rope. My older daughter, who was about 2 or 3 years old at the time, looked up at her mommy. There she was, with chocolate all over her face, her pigtails going in all directions, and her sweet, loving smile. Oh, that smile. Her little smile made me pause in the chaos. It stopped time. I looked at my daughter and my heart swelled with absolute and unconditional love. She was driving me crazy in the moment, jumping on the couch, running away, laughing while I struggled to gain her attention. But despite it all, I loved her. I knew in that moment there was nothing she could do that would keep me from loving her. On her good days and bad days, I was always going to love her. Wow. Is this how God loves us? According to Romans chapter 3, verses 38 through 39, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Just like my love for my children is unwavering, so is Christ's love for us. It is because of this love that he offers us grace. And so we should offer not only our children, but also ourselves grace. We are going to have bad days, and so will our kids, but it's okay. At the end of the day, may we know we are loved, and may that love help us not only believe we can do better, but provide us with the strength and wisdom we need to make better choices the next time. To work towards becoming that mother we long to be. When our babies are born, they know practically nothing aside from instinctual survival skills, such as how to sleep, wake, drink, etc. And even those things took practice in the womb. Many things they do in the future, whether it be walking, reading, how to throw a ball, will mostly come from the moments we spend teaching them. They learn how to mimic our expressions, how to deal with stress, and even how to treat others by the way we treat them. How can we expect our children to give us grace, or even themselves, if we do not do the same? 2 Corinthians chapter 12 provides us with some powerful verses. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The older I get, these verses resonate with me more and more. Every time I am met with adversity, every time I am rocked to my core, I become stronger. It isn't because I learned to overcome the hurt, the pain, the sadness. It's because I find grace for myself and for the other people who may be a part of those chapters in my life. All of the struggles and mistakes teach me about empathy. Empathy is the third and final topic I'd like to touch on. You've probably heard the expression, put yourselves in other people's shoes, or at least something along those lines. How often do you actually do that, though? How often do you pause before interactions and think of the other person's perspective? A while back, I experienced a gut-wrenching event. Many people were involved in this, and it was the most difficult thing to navigate. It taught me how important empathy can be, how powerful. It took some time, but I was able to see each person individually in the experience. I understood that our roles in the situation were all different. Our relationships with those involved were different. None of us were wrong. We just couldn't have the same views or emotions because we weren't the same people. Our children definitely need empathy from us. They need to feel that we understand their emotions, ideas, and beliefs. We don't have to agree with them, but we should try to understand from their perspective and not just our own. I know as a parent, this might be a challenge sometimes. Don't we have so much more wisdom and life experience? We know what we're talking about, right? Perhaps we do know a thing or two, but we don't necessarily know it from our child's perspective. Being a good mom or a good parent means that we should show respect to our kids through empathy. Our children are not us. They're their own person. Have you ever felt like someone didn't deserve your respect because they do not respect you? It could be that your child might feel that way about you sometimes too. As the Bible says, love thy neighbor as thyself. This includes our children. With every consequence, discussion, and interaction, may we keep in mind empathy. Empathy is so powerful, it can actually alter an entire relationship. When you can understand another person's feelings and actions, it makes it easier to find a common ground, a solution, or a next step. You become partners instead of enemies on the opposite sides of a battlefield. Empathy says, I'm listening, I'm acknowledging, I'm trying to understand, and I hear you. Sure, just like a lot of other good qualities out there, we cannot guarantee empathy from another party. But remember, let's focus on our actions instead of reactions. You never know when the seeds you sow in someone's heart may take root and grow. It is also important to grasp the idea that empathy can lead us to realize our own imperfections. How are our actions making other people feel? Are we overreacting? Are we being irrational or judgmental? Do we have a flaw or weakness in character ourselves? If we are able to empathize with others, we become better communicators. With better communication can come stronger, healthier, and more respectful relationships. As a parent, it is very important to try and maintain healthy relationships with our kids. Instead of trying to control them, maybe with a better understanding of who they are, we can more easily open their minds to the lessons we are trying to teach. Of course, this doesn't guarantee success, but it can definitely increase our odds for a more positive outcome. Empathy helps establish trust, and trust is pivotal in the development of a mother-child relationship. I'm not an expert. I'm not perfect. And I know that different life experiences may provide others with different opinions. But there may be someone out there who needs to hear this. If this is you, if you are the one who needed to hear this, I'm so glad you're here. No, you aren't perfect. Yes, you have made some mistakes. Maybe you haven't been giving those positive things in abundance to your kids. But that can all change today. The Bible provides us with guidance, but there isn't a map that leads us to perfect mom. No mom out there is a perfect mom, and that's okay. That's how it's supposed to be. So often people think learning stops with school, but some of the most important things we learn as life continues. In truth, we never stop learning. We never have to stop improving because we are never going to be perfect. Make today a fresh start. Forgive yourself for your shortcomings. Don't deny them, but rather acknowledge them so you can learn and grow. And don't give up on yourselves. And kids out there, don't give up on your parents. We serve a mighty God who can provide such love and wisdom. He is a miracle maker, and we shouldn't forget that. Perhaps it is a change in us God wants, and not a change in our parent or child. This is where I am in life right now, especially when it comes to the relationship with my mom. In what ways can I be a better person? Can I give more grace, empathy? Can I change my perspective? Which of my actions are hurting my relationships and causing barriers? Asking these questions doesn't mean we've failed. On the contrary, it means we are succeeding because we are discovering forgiveness, healing, and how to change for the better. Honestly, it has been very freeing focusing more on my own self-improvement. So, give yourselves some grace, moms. Life is full of those graceful messes and hopeful guesses. Love your kids. Go forth and give those positive things abundantly. I hope you've enjoyed my very first episode of Graceful Messes and Hopeful Guesses on Motherhood. Please offer me grace and empathy as I begin this journey. My next episode will be on faith and what having true faith really means. Can't wait to see you there.